All right, we're going back into our study of words, confessions, and angels. And right now what we're looking at are some examples of times when confessions have made all the difference in outcomes. Our confession in God makes all the difference. If we want God results, then we need to be talking God talk and doing God actions. And what we're focusing on right now is the confession part of our study. And you remember the last time we were together, we looked at what Goliath said to David, and then we looked at what David confessed before the Lord to Goliath, and we saw the things that God had in mind come to pass through his servant David. Now tonight we're going to begin by looking at three young men who are called the three Hebrew children. They were young people, and they had been taken as captives, which happened very often, by the Babylonian Empire. Daniel was their friend. You know the story of Daniel. And this is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they're given, you know, Babylonian names, or if they're taken by the Persians, they're given Persian names lots of times. But what the conquerors would do would be to take the brightest and the best of the youth, then they would bring them up in their culture. But what we see lots of times is that those young men, because of their knowledge of the Lord and their stand for the Lord, eventually, although they're taken in as captives, they rise to prominence in a kingdom and become counselors of the king or leaders. You know, Daniel was well respected in this kingdom, but even so, there's opposition. So what's happening here, this is the time when Nebuchadnezzar had made an image of gold. Remember this? And he had declared that everyone, where does this start? Verse 14? All right, let me just tell a little of it then. That everyone in the kingdom was to bow. Anytime they heard the music playing, that was their signal to bow to this image that he had set up in his kingdom. He was a very prideful man. And so these three young men, because of their knowledge of the Word of God, refused to bow, because God's Word said, "You shall have no other gods before me." And they weren't about to bow in servitude to any foreign god or image. It was against their conscience before God, against their conviction. And so, of course, there's always somebody who'll go tell on you, and that's what happened here. So let's start in verse 8 of Daniel 3. Therefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came forward and accused the Jews. You can read this over and over and over again in history. There's always somebody who's looking out at those multiplying Jews and saying, they don't obey our laws, we need to get rid of them. That Antichrist spirit has been in the earth from the very beginning. And that's what's here in this story that we're looking at in this chapter 3 of Daniel. They spoke and said to King Nebuchadnezzar, verse 9, O king, live forever. You, O king, have made a decree that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, and psaltery in symphony with all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the gold image. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And then they go on to tell their perspective, their side of it. There are certain Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon. Do you see where this is going? And do you know what the motive is? They don't like it. There's a jealousy here that these guys have risen to prominence. So there are certain ones that they're wanting him to know about. And they call their names Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not paid due regard to you. They do not serve your gods or worship the gold image which you have set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in rage and fury, gave the command to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego forward. So they brought these men before the king. Now Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the gold image which I have set up?" Now, if you are ready at the time you hear the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, and psaltery in symphony with all kinds of music, and you fall down and worship the image which I've made, good. But if you do not worship, you shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning, fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you from my hands? Now, this is a man saying to children of God, the living God, the true and living God, who is the little G-O-D? Who is the God who will deliver you from my hands? He thinks that he's all-powerful, doesn't he? He has some lessons to learn that happen further over in this book himself about who is the mighty hand of God, but it isn't Nebuchadnezzar. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, now let's listen to their confession, because that's what we're focusing on in this study guide. We're going to delve into several different places that are familiar ground, and it'll preach. But what we're looking at is confession. This is the first thing they said out of their mouths. O Nebuchadnezzar, this is verse 16, we have no need to answer you in this manner. If that is the case, if you are going to put us in the fire for not bowing to the image, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. Now, what did they say there? Our God is able to deliver us. That sounds so simple when they say that. Now, they've seen this furnace, and they know how hot it is. But, you know, is that the first thing that comes out of our mouth when we're confronted with a threat or an intimidation by the enemy? And it can come in any form. You have such and such. You know, your bank statement says this and that. Those people over there think you, what, however it comes, it's an image. Do we bow down to that and try to defend our way out? Or is the first thing that we say what these men said? We don't need to answer those accusations. Jesus? Did he ever defend himself? He didn't answer their accusations, did he? He just spoke the truth. Well, that's what they're doing. They say, the God we serve is able to deliver us from your burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us from your hand, O king. So they're speaking victory. God will deliver us. And they said, if it's the case that you put us in the fire, he'll deliver us. But if not, if it's not the case that you put us in the fire, if you choose not to put us in there, then let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. You put us in, God will deliver us. You don't put us in, we're not worshiping your gods. So we don't have any need to answer you on this. We are established, in other words. Whatever you do, we're not changing. But if you do what you say you're going to do, God will deliver us. Then Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury, and the expression on his face changed toward Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. See, he thought a little pressure would bring these boys over to take the heat from, you know, the other guys off of them. Didn't work. He spoke and commanded that they heat the furnace 7 times more than it was usually heated. So now he's really mad. Just going to burn them up. And he commanded certain mighty men of valor who were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their trousers, their turbans, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's command was urgent and the furnace exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire killed those men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Heating it up that way killed the men who even took them up there. But they threw them in. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished, and he rose in haste and spoke, saying to his counselors, "Did we not cast three men bound into the midst of the fire?" They answered and said to the king, "True, O king." "Well, look," he answered, "I see four men loose. Didn't we cast three men bound? I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God." Well, the message to us here is exactly what these men declared with their confession. Our God will deliver us. And you know, he didn't just bring them out. He went in there to get them. Does that not help you when we get in our messes, no matter how hot the heat is? Jesus comes to where we are to get us out, to get us to where he is. He's right there in the midst of the heat with them. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. And they believe that. We're in an Old Testament. This is Old Covenant. I don't know what they knew, but I know they didn't know what we know, because they didn't know about the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And yet they spoke by faith, because they believed what the Word, they believed whatever the scriptures they had were, they believed the report that God is a delivering God, which I must say is a lot more than a lot of Christians believe today. And we're without excuse. We're in a new covenant paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ, who said, "I'm going and the Holy Spirit's coming." He's not going to just be with you like he's been with those saints of old. He's going to be in you. And he's going to guide you into all truth from the inside. We're without excuse. These men knew the faithfulness of God, and they declared it to their own, at the risk of their own life. Then Nebuchadnezzar went near the mouth of the burning fiery furnace, verse 26, and spoke, saying, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out and come here." Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came from the midst of the fire. And the satraps, who were governors and administrators and governors and the king's counselors, all the top officials gathered together, and they saw these men on whose bodies the fire had no power. There you go. There's our key word. There is no power greater than the power of God. There is none. That power had no effect. The hair of their head was not singed, nor were their garments affected, and the smell of fire was not on them. And Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying, I don't know how far the study guide went to 27. I'm going to go one more. "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel," we're going to read this one in just a little bit again, "and delivered his servants who trusted in him." And then look at verse 29. "Therefore I make a decree that any people, nation, or language which speaks anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made an ash heap, because there is no other God who can deliver like this." And then there was a promotion that came. Now, I wish I could tell you that Nebuchadnezzar learned his lesson totally at this point. He didn't, but he was on a journey of understanding who the true and living God. He had to come to a personal place of desperation before he gets a true revelation of it. But he saw three men say words of faith, "Our God will deliver us from your hand." And he saw that his hand and everything that he could come up with against them was no match for the power of the one who was walking in the furnace with them, and that they were not abandoned, but that their God came alongside them to bring them out. So the confessions got God results. Our words are important, and what we say, especially in the midst of crisis, has everything to do with the outcome. Now, the next thing is that we want to look at is the confession that that Jesus made. And we're going to look in Mark 11, verses 12 through 22. So let's go over to the New Testament for just a few minutes before break. Pardon me. Mark 11, and our study guide says 12. Let's start with verse 11, just a moment. Mark 11, 11, because we need to see what happened before the actual words that we're going to hear. And Jesus went into Jerusalem and into the temple. So I want you to see that prior to this confession over a fig tree, Jesus had been in the temple. So when he had looked around at all things, okay, as the hour was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. Now, I also want you to look in Matthew 21 just a minute before we go on with Mark. Keep your place in Mark. And I can just read Matthew 21 to you, verses 21 and 22. So Jesus answered and said to them, well, I need to hold that one. I'm sorry. Let's read that at the end. Mark 11, 11. Jesus has been in the temple, looked around at all things, and he goes out to Bethany with the 12. Now the next day, verse 12 of Mark 11, when they had come out from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he would find something on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. In response, Jesus said to it, "Let no one eat fruit from you ever again." And his disciples heard it. Now those were the words that he spoke. "Let no one eat fruit from you ever again." So they came to Jerusalem, and then Jesus went into the temple and began to drive out those who bought and sold in the temple. And he overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves, and he would not allow anyone to carry wares through the temple. Then he taught, saying to them, "Is it not written, 'My house shall be called a house of prayer for all the nations'? But you have made it a den of thieves." And the scribes and the chief priests heard it and thought how they might destroy him, for they feared him, because all the people were astonished at his teaching. When evening had come, he went out of the city. Now in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. So that has happened overnight. And Peter, remembering, said to him, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed," and what did Jesus say to it? "No one will eat fruit from you again," "has withered away." So Jesus answered and said to them, "Have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. And we know that he's talking here about a settled heart, believing when you speak. Now let's look at Matthew, where I went just a little bit earlier, 21. And I want us to look at verses, let's see, 18. This is really the very same incident. Now, I'm going to start in 18. Now, in the morning, as he returned to the city, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree by the road, he came to it and found nothing on it but leaves. And he said to it, let no fruit grow on you ever again. And immediately the fig tree withered away. And when his disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, how did the fig tree wither so soon? And then Jesus answered them and said to them, the very same thing I say to you, if you have faith and don't doubt, that you will not only do what was done to the fig tree, but also if you say to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, it'll be done. And whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive them. Now, the other thing I want to mention, besides the power of the words that Jesus spoke, I mean, he spoke to a natural, living thing, and his words had physical evidence of impact on that tree. It withered at the roots and died, and no man would ever eat fruit of it again, just like he said. But I want us to remember that in John 5:30, I think it's important to bring this in here because we need to understand that Jesus didn't just walk around saying things to display the power of God, okay? He wasn't flippant with the fact that he could make a fig tree wither. That wasn't what was going on at all. And in John 5:30, we need to keep this scripture right here as a forerunner of everything that we see Jesus do and everything that we hear him say, because here's what he said in John 5:30. I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is righteous because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. Now we know that faith comes by hearing, right? So what I'm saying is that Jesus didn't just walk up and do what he thought he would do to impress his disciples. He had already heard what to do. He would not have spoken that if he hadn't heard it. He would have not done what he did if he hadn't already heard from his Father to do it, to judge, to speak those words. And what we need to connect this to, as we look at the context of the verse that we just read in Mark and in Matthew, is the fact that Jesus had really seen the very same thing in another setting earlier. And that is that when he went into the temple, where should be the fruit of God and the works of God, he saw the exact opposite. He saw a religious system that was producing nothing. There was no sustenance there to keep men alive with the truth and the Word of God. Nothing that should have been going on in there was happening. What instead was happening was finding ways to take from men. He said, it's a den of thieves. So, there's a connection between what Jesus had seen the day before when he went in, or the evening before when he went in. It said he looked all around, and he saw. He saw into the Spirit, and then he heard at some point, in order to do what he did, you know, with that fig tree. So it was not just some demonstration of his ability to say words and make something happen. That would just be an empty show or display. But he's comparing the fig tree to the religious system that was occupying the temple at the time, and saying, "Let no man eat fruit of you again. Wither at the roots and die, because you don't sustain men." What did he tell the his disciples about the Pharisees? Don't eat their leaven. Don't be like that. Okay, so there's a connection here between the words and the signs that followed. That's what I want us to understand. There was a reason for this, because Jesus never did anything without a reason. He had heard to do this. And I believe it's very closely linked with what he had seen when he went into the temple that should have been a house of prayer. Okay? It was all show and no goods. Nothing that would satisfy a hungry man. All right, we'll take a break, and then we'll come back, and we're going to be in Luke 7 with the centurion.